Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I Por Favor with Alexia Nepola
and Marisol Patton, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hola. Hi, guys. How's everyone? So Marisol will not be with me here today because she's having a fabulous time on a cruise with her hubby in Europe. She's actually renewing her vows, Peter. Ay, por favor, Marisol, did you hear that? But we're missing you, and it's not going to be the same without you. Peter will try to fill in for you, and it's going to be a lot of fun because I've actually never co-hosted with my son, Peter. I've never done a podcast with him. So vamos a ver. Let's see how it goes for us. You guys be the judge of it. I hope you like it. I think that a good question to start off would be, what do you think is the best piece of advice that I've ever given you?
I wish I would have taken all of your advice, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. You know, I've had to, you know, go through a lot of hardships and you learn, unfortunately, but I always had your little voice in my head, like, don't do that, Peter.
Yeah. Wait, you have it in English or in Spanish?
Both. Spanglish.
Right.
So you always guided me in the right direction, even though my actions never, you know, really matched with it. But as the years have progressed and everything, I'm very grateful for your advice. I know you only meant the best and stuff.
Right. Well, I think as a mom, right, and especially being Latina, I feel that we're always giving advice. And, you know, whether you take it or not, it's just about you listening and then realizing, you know, I realize also that you have to go through it yourself because I actually had to do the same thing. My mom gave me a lot of advice that I didn't take at the time. And after looking back, I was like, oops, like I wish I would have listened to my mom. And I can think of like one thing, you know, specifically like my mom, well, you know, abuelita, your mom, you know, and my mom. which is your abuela, would always tell me, tú te puedes casar y divorciarte as many times as you want. Like, you can get married and divorce as many times as you want. Thank you for finishing this sentence. Okay, so you even remember my mom's advice.
Well, I got that advice already too. Oh,
of course. But you see, so it's sinking in because you know what? I like who you married. So you can have, and you didn't have children. So basically, Peter's just finishing the line. So you can get married and divorce as many times as you like, even though we'd like it to be one. But who you have children changes your entire life, and there will be part of your life for your entire life. And I think that we know that because, you know, your father still plays, you know, a big role, you know, in our lives. So like we said, that was one of the advices that I think of my mom all the time. And it's true. You know, it's somebody when you have children, it really changes your life. And you adopt him and his family as your family as well. And
I'm glad. That's the best advice that worked out for you, you'd say.
Well, I didn't take it. I married your dad, but in a good way, because look, I have two beautiful children.
Yeah.
I have you and your brother, you know, and that's how I see it. It's actually like how you see things, right? You can see things however you want to see them.
She might have seen it in a bad way, but
no, I don't think she's
different.
Right. I mean, you know? No, because, you know, we worry about, right, which is like where I worry about with you two now. It's like, you know, yes, you're super in love and you get married and blah, blah, blah. But then you have kids. And it's really forever. Like, your relationship might not work out, but once there's children involved, everything changes. And I think that that's, you know, a very good advice, you know, but again, I never took it. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm in love. I'm still going to get married. I'm still going to have kids and whatever. But, you know, at the end, it's kind of like, you know, you pay for everything, like, paga por todo, you know, and you learn from it. It's really not in a way, like, I know back then, you know, the parents used to say that, like, oh, you know, like, you're going to pay for it. But, you know, I like to see it like a life lesson. You know, and you learn from it. And I think that you do listen to my advice. And maybe not at the moment, right when I tell you, but I feel like, you know, it's somewhere in there and it's like it sinks in. And I think in the last year, for example, you've been listening to it.
You know, we have a small, close, tight family. So I don't just take it as advice. I take it as everything speaking to you, just some, you know,
right, like a friend. I think that we're like in a relationship now, you know, where you're obviously older.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're friends. And I give you advice, you know, not only as your mother, but like as a friend, as a woman, like somebody that.
Yeah, she doesn't sit me down on the couch and be like, Peter, da, 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 da. No, we talk, we go to lunch. It's completely different.
Right. Like, the dynamics have obviously changed.
Yeah.
Because with age and maturity and, you know, we've established that. My mom, you know, so my mom was a psychiatrist. And you know that, Peter, we miss her so much because my mom was so therapeutic. Like, she would be talking and giving us advice and therapy without us even realizing it. So we literally had like a free psychiatrist the whole time, you know, giving us advice. But even my mom as a psychiatrist knew that even though people paid her to give her such good advice, she would give it to me for free and I wouldn't take it. So what's the moral of the story? That we have to go through like our own life lessons and learn from it ourselves. So that was my mom. So my dad, for example, my dad would always tell me que tenía que tener un título. Like, I had to have a degree no matter what. I had to graduate, you know, from college and I had to have a degree because a degree was so important. So my dad always really reiterated the fact that a woman must have a career and be self-sufficient. And that would really be, you know, life-changing. And you never knew, you know, because obviously back then, you know, your parents always wanted for you to be married forever, but really not as a career. You know, they wanted to, even if you want to be a stay-at-home mom and a housewife, you still have to have a degree and something to fall on. So I think that's the best advice that my dad gave me. And I totally took it. I regret not going to law school because my father passed away. And I was accepted into law school and everything, but I had the conflict that I didn't know if I wanted to, you know, be an attorney and work all these hours and maybe not spend as much time with my kids. So I just decided to get my master's in special ed and have a career where I can, you know, take my kids to school in the morning, spend more time with them, have summers off. So that was a personal decision. But my father always, the best advice was like, you have to go to school and have a degree, which I also told you. I feel like all the advice that Abuela Nancy and my dad gave me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'll give some of it to my kids one day.
I hope so. I hope so. Because, you know, all we as parents do is, you know, we try to protect you and save you. And I think especially us like Latina moms, I think we're a little bit more overbearing, aggressive, what, in the delivery or in the advice, right? Like, because someone we passionate, we're very passionate, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, and that it shows. I have some of the questions that, that I feel like, you know, some of the people listening to us and that have been watching you, you know, and been watching me, you know, on TV, on The Housewives, and have been watching you since you were a young boy. Every teen experiences growing pains, but do you resent the fact, I think we've talked about this, like you and I sometimes, do you resent the fact that you had to grow up on national TV? Because honestly, it was something I wanted to do, and you were still a young boy, and I never really asked you and your brother. I kind of did. I said, oh, you guys want to be on this show?
I was casting for a show. And I was the one that recommended it to you, like, hey,
go. You told me about it. Mm-hmm.
And I already knew what all of that entailed. And I was already casting, doing a casting for a TV show. And I knew everything that was going to come with that. So since the beginning, I honestly never had a problem. And I had to model and be in front of the camera and commercials, editorial, all this stuff. So it really... it made no difference to me, honestly.
Right. No, you were pretty comfortable with it. You know, I think also, though, you were really young and you didn't know. I remember when this talk came about the show, my concern was that it was going to open our lives to be so public. And with that, a lot of things from maybe our past or our family's past was going to come out. And since I had always raised you in a way to protect you from all that, I said, well, maybe now's the time to have the conversation with you and tell you a few things you didn't know about our family, because I was afraid that it was going to come out. So that's what was holding me back. But truthfully, you know, I never asked you or your brother was only 13 years old, whether, you know, it was okay. And I mean, not that at that age you would have really, you know, had like power over me, but I think if you both would have said, no, like, we hate it, we don't want to be part of this, then maybe I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, because already as growing up, as teenagers, it's tough to be on a show like that. You know, and sometimes I feel like, well, you know, you don't resent me. That's like what I want to know.
Frankie are just different breed. And honestly, it doesn't matter. He loved it. He was young and he loved dressing up. He was like, yeah, I'm on a TV show. What's up?
Yeah.
So
he still loves it, by the way. Exactly. And Frankie's a favorite. He's always been like that kid that loved the camera, that, you know, that loved people, that loved expressing himself. And
yeah, I mean, I thought it was fun, to be honest. I mean, it's a great platform. So whatever you're doing, whether it was music, modeling, baseball, whatever it was, I saw it as something cool. There's some kids that get nervous or this. What are they going to think? Oh, I didn't. Me and Frankie were just like, we're just not like that. And we were, could have been anything. TV show. And
I mean, I felt the same. And as a parent, I did it. Thinking it was going to be something good and positive for both of you. And I think as a parent, you know, as long as you, when you make the decisions, it's always, you know, something positive about it. That's why I did it. I thought it was going to be something good for our family. And for us, like you said, you know, you were an athlete, you were modeling, you know, I thought it was going to be a great platform for you and your brother the same. Your brother liked to sing and perform and do all that kind of stuff. So I really did it for those reasons. I had the magazine at the time. I thought it was a great platform as well. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't always turn out that way, right? And sometimes, like everything in life, there's pros and there's cons.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones that are opposed to doing the show always are the husbands, and I think we all know that. But, I mean...
As a child, as a teenager, you were okay with it. It's not like my mom made me do it.
No, I mean, eventually, you know, it kind of gets annoying. Oh, Housewives, oh, Alexis' son, da-da-da-da-da. So after a while, you know, kind of gets annoying, but that it comes with it. You know, your pros and cons. Any little thing you do, you know, you have to double think what you're doing and what you post and all that. And I definitely made mistakes when I was younger and I didn't think about any of that. And that was definitely difficult for me. And it took me a while to kind of like grow up and, you know, get some sense into my head. But You know, so I would say that was the most difficult part for sure. And then as life starts to get more serious and intense and problems come about, those problems become public. So, you know, all the worst things, like, that kind of just, like, right, intensifies it a lot more. People come up to you, you know, and something, oh, Lex, how are you feeling? You know, it's yeah, a lot, but it makes you stronger. And I feel like once you persevere and you're able to go through that, people see that, and there's people out there that need to hear that or are in similar situations. So,
but it's something as a mom that I've always like thought too, like, well, maybe if I wouldn't have done this show, like, you know, your lessons wouldn't have been so public, or maybe those things wouldn't have even happened, you know, as a result of the show and as a result of our family being more public. Sometimes they kind of like pick on us, or like, you know, they make things worse instead of better. And I think that that's why it's so easy for me to talk on these topics that we're going to talk about today, as far as, you know, Hailey Bieber and Jonah Hill and the other things we're going to talk about today, because, you know, all these people are growing up in the public eye. And now with social media, there's no secrets, and everybody's just like made it a point to be oversharing and to, you know, take all their personal lives, you know, onto social media. You know, at least they pay us for it. No, I'm kidding, but it's true. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I feel like if you want to be like, if you want to be so public about it, then just have a reality show, right?
I don't know, but like, it's ridiculous when you see all these successful, happy people, whatever, and they want to just post it on Instagram and all this right, stuff.
Well, I think funny about our family, now that you say that, is that, for example, we're on a reality show, but I'm pretty private when it comes to like social media and Instagram. I post the minimal. And we're going to be talking about that today, you know, as far as the other topics we're going to talk about. And people are like, oh, but you're so open, like on your show, when you're on a reality show, and like, why don't you like post more on social media? And I said, because I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And I mean, I think a lot of the social media now is like, is a fraud and it's fake. And I've spoken to Marisol about this and other times we've done the podcast, and it's something that I'm not comfortable about. Yet you put the camera in front of me, like when we're doing the show, and I'm so genuine and transparent and just, you know, and just honest. And that's a different, you know, a different platform, or I guess, you know, than social media. So that I've always wanted to ask you that. I know we've talked about it sometimes before, but I just want to make sure that you don't resent me. I know when sometimes in your life that things have happened to you in a way you're like, mom, that's because I was on the show with you.
Oh, and yeah. If I wasn't on the show, I probably would have
not gotten that kind of attention. And usually, by the way, it's negative attention, right? Because nobody wants to read about or hear about how great you're doing in life and how successful you are and how, you know, people just like to hear like the bad news, unfortunately. That's what it is, right? You grow thick skin and, you know, and like you said, you know, through pain and life lessons and maturity and all that, you just, you know, you it's growth. I mean, like, that's what happens. And you've been doing this for a long time. So it's kind of like, okay, who cares? What else? I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, you handle it pretty well. Never die. You do. Yeah. Some people don't, believe me. And there's some like, you know, older people that don't handle it very well.
Just our family history. You think a reality TV show is going to make me flinch?
Okay.
I mean, it's just, right. I don't know. I
feel, well, like my life has been like a telenovela, so we know that.
It is. Right. Now it's on TV, so I think you have a lot of stories, not stories, but a lot of insight to give to people. And if it wasn't for the show, you wouldn't, it wouldn't be possible.
Right. Okay, so with that, you take the good and the bad. And that's like what I say. Okay, well, no, you know, I'm sharing my life and I'm being vulnerable and I'm opening up my life. And, you know, different things that I've gone through in my life. And hopefully I can inspire people and help people. And that's why I do it. And, you know, when I don't have that story anymore, nothing good to offer, then, you know, I guess it'll be the time that I won't do it anymore. Because, you know, I feel like I have a responsibility as a public person to do that, you know. And that's like what I try to tell you too. So my social media is very like boring. It's just like whatever. I don't really care for it. And I tell you too, you know, to post as little, because, you know, unfortunately people only want to make a comment like something mean and bad. I'm like, and I've always had the rule, if you have nothing to say nice, then don't say it.
I Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steel, every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have another question for you. Like, I don't even know if I've ever asked you this. What was your reaction? Now that we're talking about a little bit about everything, what was your reaction when you saw Cocaine Cowboys?
We were always trying to like get the, when I say we, as me and my dad, and I was really the only one that supported him. My mom will always support him, you know?
Well,
I don't know about the story. Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can get into that after. You just happened to be part of it. So, so basically.
No, I'm just saying, like, how did you feel when you saw that? Because we're talking about you growing up as a teenager on national TV, but then now your father comes out on Netflix without anybody knowing. By the way, when I saw the trailer with myself in it, I dropped to the floor. So how did you feel? What was your reaction when you saw Cocaine Cowboys?
Zero reaction.
Really?
Because since high school, oh, your dad, Peter, your dad is the cooking cowboy. Since ninth grade, it's been like this.
Really?
So it came out. Everyone already knew, oh, it's Peter's dad. Oh, they already knew all, half of the stories, you know?
Right, but how did you feel seeing like your...
The only thing that made me feel a different type of way was finding out all these stories and putting all these like puzzle pieces together that were like not there. I had all these questions in my head when I grew up. Why did I go to Spain? Why was I here? Why did we move here? Why wasn't my dad at my baseball games? I was, you know, so all these things I just didn't understand while growing up. And I would see like other families and this and that. And I was like, I was just confused.
I always told you that your dad was in school. He was like in a 10-year program in college. No, 5-year program.
Yeah. And then I start like, so little by little watching it, you know, I start to hear all these stories and I'm like, WTF. And, basically,
but were you ashamed? Like, for example, I was like I've said this before, like I was ashamed before about that story, about, you know, about many things in my life. I've been ashamed. And I think being on my reality show has helped me talk about a lot of things that I felt uncomfortable and ashamed about before, you know, in my family and about decisions that I had made and how I had lived my life. But now, and after your brother's accident that I started writing my book, which is not finished, by the way, when I started writing things down, it was therapeutic and I actually felt better. And I said, wow, I'm like a badass. I've gone through like all these things in my life and I've gone back up and I've come back even stronger. And I've been a great mom and doing good and being good, you know? And I was just kind of like a victim of falling in love with somebody that happened to have that life, which, by the way, I didn't know about it. To me, a lot of that stuff was new too. I was like, what?
A lot of people come up to me, they're like, hey, your dad's a gangster, but you know who the real gangster is? Your mother. And I'm like, thank
you. I guess, but yeah, I don't really consider myself that, but I want to wait.
Not a gangster, but you're real and you held it down. And
yeah, I did.
People really took that into account and noticed that, you know, and...
Yeah, I'm always going to hold it down. And even when things are terrible, like yo me pongo, mira, la sonrisa en la cara, you see a smile, put on my red lipstick and I go out there and I figure it out. And, you know, and I fight for everything I have because that's how it is, you know, you have to do that. That was another advice my parents gave me.
But I was
never let people see what you're going through. You go through it on your own. You put that smile on your face and you go out there and you do what you have to do.
Yeah. But we were always pushing, waiting for someone to pick up the project. So as soon as it happened, it was like a dream come true. And we were ready to go.
Well, I mean, I thought it was important for him to say his side of the story. I didn't like that he didn't get paid for it or that, you know, it took advantage that way. Again, him being, you know, what else or whatever. But, you know, I've always like, I wanted to ask you that, like, how do you feel like, you know, we're besides that, you know, we're on this reality TV show and then your dad, you know, has,
he's on Netflix,
a docuseries, you know, on Netflix. So it's like, okay, like, you know, not pobrecito Peter, you know, because, you know, your mom and dad, you know, this, but, you know, like, I want to see how you felt. So you're good with it. You're...
Even though there's terrible things that I wish never happened, but
right.
At the end of the day, it's your family and it's your blood and they love you no matter what. And
right.
you should
love your father, you know, unconditionally, you know, that's what it is, but that's not the conversation. I just wanted to know how you felt when you saw. I was surprised because this was something that he talked about and that I went and I did an interview kind of to like support. They wanted to interview me and I said, of course, I'll do anything to help you out. Why not? And they asked me some questions and then 7, 8, 9 years later, it's on Netflix. Yeah. So like for me, and it was kind of like at the same time that our show had come back, season 4. So I was like, okay. I wasn't waiting for this or expecting this, but then again, you know.
Yeah, neither.
My life is like that, so that's fine.
No one was. The reason why I say I was really happy is because finally something paid off for him. Because
a lot of times people never have that chance, never have that opportunity. So I'm happy for him that he got to say his story. Yeah. Well, speaking about what we want to know about, do you want to know anything about Halle Berry?
Halle Berry?
Wait, no.
Halle Berry?
Halle Bieber, sorry. Mrs. Bieber.
Mrs. Bieber.
Okay, well, apparently they are acusándola of a thirst trap. If she's doing what? She's posting bikini pics. Like, what do you think that happened? For example, she posted the pic of like the little teeny weeny bikini and then she deleted it instantly. People want to say it's because she's controlling and he made her like take it off. Like, oye, quita eso, you know, like, borra la foto, delete it.
Yeah, if she was con un cubano, the story would be completely different.
Pero, oye, no, he's with a Canadian le dijo lo mismo.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to think that. I don't want to think, why are we always blaming other people? So why are we blaming Justin Bieber for telling her, like, take it off, take it down, because he's controlling? You know, sometimes, you know, maybe she had a shot or she had like too much to drink and she was feeling some sort of way. So she posted like, you know, that picture and then she's like, and then you're feeling like insecure and you're like, oh, let me delete it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how I want to see it. But I feel like la gente, like they're always looking for a problem. They're like, oh, it's Justin Bieber that like he's so controlling and he made her take it out, take it down. I mean, I feel like Hailey Bieber's had it really difficult as far as being married to Justin, because I felt like everybody loved Selena Gomez so much. Como que she was never going to like be Selena and she was never going to receive that love that everyone had with Selena and Justin when they were together.
I mean, they were always in the friend group between like Kendall. Justin dated Kendall. He slept with all of your friends and ended up marrying Hailey. And they ask her, hey, does that bother you?
El mismo bibi para todo el mundo. That's what I always say.
I've never heard that one.
Well, we say it.
Okay.
Here in Miami, that's why I say my friend group.
Okay, well, I don't want to hear it.
But that's what it is. But yeah. But again, you know, I think that, you know, that she's young. She's a model. This is what she does. You can have a change of heart, a change of, you know, the moment, and you're like, oh, shit, like, I shouldn't have posted that. Let me delete it. But I don't want to think that it's because he's controlling,
yeah. You
know, and I feel like she has a lot of pressure. Like, all her friends are, like, posting half-naked pictures, you know what I mean? Even, like, Selena Gomez was like, posting pictures of, like, her boobs. So it's kind of like, you know what? Me, all my friends are doing the same thing that are my age, so let me be a little bit more provocative. Yeah, I don't know. I just think we should just get rid of Instagram. Truthfully, I would give it up right now. Can anybody come just shut down the whole thing?
Yeah.
No, I don't need it. You know, I think it's like a lot of these girls need the validation. You know, a lot of people on social media, that's what they're looking for.
That's
validation. Get Hailey. What do you think they're going to tell Hailey? Oh my God, you're so hot. Oh my God, the emoji, the fire.
No, it's how many privileged girls that go to good schools, come from good families. They have all the connections. They could do whatever they want. But nothing makes them feel better than looking like una.
But really, you know, it's a very sad thing. For me, it's a very sad thing. And instead of coming out with more apps and more stuff like that, they need to find a way to just, like, shut them all down, because no bueno. I can't. Like, honestly, it just makes me, like, very sad.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barata-papa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together. And that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi. I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, of course, I follow Sofia Vergara. And Sofia and Joe are going their separate ways. Ay, qué tristeza. You know, is it the 7-year itch? I think, and those are we agreeing that the 7-year itch exists? Well, between Sofia and Joe, it obviously did, because they are announcing that they are separating. I did find it strange, though, and you see, that's where people are looking at. The fact that he said, you know, feliz cumpleaños, Sofia, and the picture was a blurred picture. That's kind of like a sign.
I didn't see the picture.
I didn't see the picture either, but now I'm looking at it and it's like blurred, blurry. It's kind of like it was in the past. That's kind of like an indication. Oye, tipo se la comió. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. Well, look at Shakira with Jimmy Butler now, so who knows what's.
Oh, mentira, Shakira. I love talking about Shakira.
Her and Jimmy Butler officially
dating. Came with some news today, mijo.
Yes, mama.
Sí.
And
me encanta.
Yeah, so let's see what Sophie gets into, you know.
Sophia?
It's a different yeah. point in her life, you know. So.
Yeah, listen, I'm very happy for Shakira. I talk about her all the time because we love her, and I love that she moved to Miami, yeah. and that she's, you know, dating different people.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I mean, it's important, you know, as a woman, especially I feel like women, I mean, in this case, I don't know if Sofia dejó a Joe or Joe dejó a Sofia or was something mutual. We don't have any information at this point. But with Shakira, it was like her husband was cheated on her. So, you know, I haven't been in that case, even though people think I have. It was different. And it was with a different sex. So that doesn't count.
Very, very different.
Very different. And I prefer it that way, by the way. So, but in this case, you don't know who left who. And sometimes that makes a difference. A lot of times I want to say it makes a difference because, you know, you feel as a woman, you feel like you feel bad about yourself. You know, your self-esteem is affected. And even though you're a mega superstar like Shakira and you're beautiful and you have a great body and you can sing and you have everything else going for you, it makes you feel bad about yourself when a man that you never expected that you love does that. You know, it's a betrayal.
And it's between her and Jimmy, it's a 13-year difference.
She likes him young. I like that. My mamacita likes the young
Jimmy
ones.
Jimmy likes
La Latina. Claro, si la Latina or everything.
They were saying that when Shakira went to the game, like that's when Jimmy started to play bad. Game 3 against Boston.
Oh my God.
So now there's like all these people in Miami like, Shakira, yeah, she went to the game.
Shakira no puede ir a los juegos. Eliminada. We're eliminating you because Miami Heat has to win.
When the playoffs come, I'm sorry, my love.
Shakira, you can come to my house. We can watch together here. We'll be rooting for Jimmy and te llevo después. Oh my God, how much fun. But you know what? So, you know, some people are happy, like Shakira and Jimmy.
Yeah.
But then some other people are sad, like Sophia and Joe, because no matter what, a breakup is always very sad. Hopefully it's amicable. Maybe they could get back together. Look
together.
At Sylvester Stallone and Jennifer Plum that went back together. No, Sophia has a son, Manolo. I think he's 31 or 32, right. Like you.
Mm-hmm.
From her previous husband. Now, actually, she never married him, I think, but it's the father of her son. And with Joe, she has no kids. Maybe that was the problem. You guys should have had kids because they don't have kids. Maybe. Joe and Sophia don't have kids. But bueno, regardless, I wish them the best. How do you feel about what's going on with Jonah and Sarah? I know that she claims that Jonah Hill is a misogynist. And for... How do you say that in Spanish?
No, sé.
Misogynista. No, not a masoquista. It sounds like masoquista, but that would be a masochist. But this is the misogynist.
Someone called me that recently. So.
Well, un masoquista. Oh, the Latin people love to say that. Yeah. Que todos los hombres son unos masoquistas. Yeah. Y las mujeres también, by the way. Anyways, but a misogynist is a person who dislikes or despises or strongly prejudiced against women. I mean, I think that's like really hard words, you know, what she was calling Jonah, where again, she's just showing what his ex-girlfriend is trying to show is his text. And his text is stating that he has boundaries. So, you know, he's trying to establish the boundaries in his relationship with Sarah. The fact that she would go publicly on her Instagram and take a screenshot of it and put something that was so personal between her and Jonah, which was her boyfriend at the time, I found that really rude, disrespectful, and immature.
Definitely.
I mean, you're young, way younger than me, but how do you feel about that? To me, this has no words. I mean, I can't just believe that somebody could do that. Like, that should not even be allowed.
First of all, that's why I thought Jonah Hill was in the right at first, because I saw her post this and his text about the boundaries, and he was being very quote unquote nice, a little bit passive aggressive.
You mean that text?
Yeah, from Jonah to her, because he came off as, hey, these are my boundaries, but they were kind of like, hey, these are my rules.
Okay, so I'm going to read one of the texts from Jonah. Plain and simple. If you need the following, surfing with men, boundary-less inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in stable places from your wild recent past beyond getting lunch or coffee or something respectful, I am not the partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it, and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for romantic partnership. My boundaries with you based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust.
Okay.
So, first of all, I think that she's misusing the term boundaries. As a matter of fact, I feel like nowadays in social media, a lot of people are just misusing terms. Like gaslighting. Like I tell you something you don't like. Oh, you're gaslighting me.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my friend group, by the way, I feel like all these girls are always like, you know, inappropriately using the terms. So, I mean, boundaries, I think, are very important in any kind of relationship, you know, whether it's husband and wife or like family, you know, the family dynamics. I mean, there's boundaries and there's reasons why there's boundaries, right? Boundaries in a relationship are kind of like this. They help each person figure out where one person ends and the other begins. In short, boundaries help you define what you're comfortable with and how you would like to be treated by others. It's definitely a conversation that I think all couples and all mature couples have. But boundaries are really not used to tell other people what they can and they cannot do, because then that would be controlling. Like, you can't tell the person you can't do this and you can't do that, because that could be a little bit like manipulative, right? And controlling.
Those are not boundaries. Those are rules. And that's
right. But I feel like he was very clear in telling her, listen, I'm not the guy for you. Like, if you want to do all these things, then I can't be in a romantic relationship with you. Right. I mean, obviously, she was already a surfer. And I guess if you look at her Instagram, she already took bikini pictures and surfing. And, you know, I think the biggest problem here is that if you already have those predisposed things in your head, you should not be dating that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I don't want to, you know, I feel like before you get into that relationship,
you should already have an idea of what to expect, what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. You can't change someone. Mm-hmm. So if you see what she's doing, this and that upsets you,
then don't date her.
Don't date her, or deal with it and talk about it. But I mean, just for seeing Jonah Hill, no offense, Jonah Hill, but you seem very insecure. The way you act and all these things about the, go to the beach with her, surf with her. It's not the end of the world. So I think his insecurity and his boundaries, he really just wants to control her.
I was following. Okay, so you do have make a lot of sense what you're saying, okay? And I'm glad that you're saying something like that, right? Because I'm more old school, I'm more traditional, and I'm a little bit more mature, obviously. So with my relationships, I mean, there's ways, of course, saying things, right? And I think like writing them down like a to-do list, you know, I think that that's really like immature too and controlling, and it could come across wrong. But it really bothered me that she goes like on social media to share this. So to me, a relationship is sacred, and it's between you and me. It's like between two people. So like to say that publicly like that, well, to post something like that.
No one, did you know who she was before she posted it?
No.
Well, neither did anyone else. Yeah. And that's why she did it.
Right. Well, I think that that's the problem here too, right? That he's the well-known and, you know, and the actor and the celebrity there. And then she just happened to be his girlfriend. And this is what she wants. She started getting all this attention when she started dating him. And now she wants to take it to another level. And by doing something like that. But you see, this is where I have a problem. Like, if you have this kind of a problem, like, don't try to make him look bad. Don't try to make yourself look good by making him look bad. You know, and I think a lot of women are really taking advantage of, like, the woman's empowering thing nowadays. And let me too, this whole movement. And let me tell you something. I'm tremenda feminita. I'm, like, super, like, you know, women. I'm all about women and empowering women and all that. But, you know, I think that a lot of these women are really taking it to a different like level. Like, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to put that and then make him look bad? No, you're immature and you're stupid and you're handling this really wrong. And it's really unfair to him because, you know, he has a career. You know, you're trying to picture him in a way.
Like a Johnny Depp.
Yeah. You're trying to picture him in a way like he's abusive and manipulative and he's affecting your mental health. Are you kidding me? This text is affecting your mental health. Oye, está mal. I mean, how could you? How can you take advantage and then the society is like okay with this?
Yeah, so they take her side.
Because yeah, because she's whole, a woman, right?
You know?
And oh my God, you should like, that should be a flag. That's such a red flag. Like you I need to run from a guy like this. Really, you need to run? No, my love. You're going to be in many situations like this where you learn. You need to learn how to communicate. And, you know, and I think that he was the mature one telling her, listen, I'm not the guy for you. I support you in every way, but I'm just not, don't want to be in a romantic relationship with somebody that can make me happy. Because you know what? You know what happens, Peter? Que nunca va a estar feliz con ella. Because all these things are going to hurt and, you know, and disrespect the relationship. So he's being honest and he's like, listen, if you, you know, this is what I need. If you can give that for me, then good luck with your life. Yeah. And that's it. We're good. Yeah. You know, I didn't see it in any negative way, but she decided to turn it into, oh, I needed to talk about this because it was affecting my mental health. All these terms that they're using today, oye, there's real mental people with real mental health issues.
If I don't have mental health issues, my love, you shouldn't.
Exactly. So everybody's different. But what I'm trying to say is that I think a lot of people are abusing, you know, these terms, you know, about mental health. And mental health is a serious thing. And you're going to tell me what badass excuse? Like, oh, I had to do it. I had to share with the entire world, you know, the boundaries he told me because it was affecting my mental health in a negative way. No, you're the negative one. You're trying to make him look bad and look like a negative person when it's really you. So my question to you is like, how would you have responded or reacted if you had a partner that was making you do the same or similar demands as Jonah Hill? So like, let's say you're dating a girl and then she would tell you like, in order for you to have a romantic relationship with me, you can't do A, B, and C.
And X, Y, Z. Definitely. Since always.
You've had a lot of those women that have told you that?
Of course.
Tell them que hablen con tu mama.
Well, first you need to follow. Why do you only follow girls? Okay, do you know this one? Do you know this? They go through every single thing.
Well, because it kind of says a lot about you.
I know, but like this is years of like Instagram and this and that. Once something gets really serious, then and like sense of like respect.
Well, that's timing. That's a good point too.
Then yes.
Yeah.
100%. And that's.
I think that Jonah and Sarah were only dating for a year. But I think that after a year, I think it's enough time, right? Where you can tell your partner, 100%. Like, you know what? I don't like that you post these pictures. I think that's a fair amount of time because in the beginning, you sound like a psycho.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know the person. You don't, right?
Of course.
But I think like after a year, there should be like this mutual respect, right? And communication where you can tell your partner, listen, you know, I know you do this, but like it bothers me a little bit. Now we're in a relationship and, you know, I feel kind of uncomfortable that you're doing this. And I know you're like, you know, going out with other guys. Cause I mean, when you're like happily in love with somebody, you don't have to be going out with other guys or doing other stuff. I think that there's like, you know, there should be mutual respect. Again, I'm like, what's good for the geese is good for the gander. I'm not saying the man could do it to the woman and the woman, I think it's a fair thing. It doesn't matter what your sex is. But what would you do? You would break up with the girl too, no? You would say, you would try to talk to them. It depends like how much.
Yeah, we would talk to them. Like, you're right. I don't know any of these
girls. I don't know any of these females.
They just happen to be there. I follow them. Let me go through and I'm gonna follow all of them.
You would make changes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me. Do I care who I follow? Or do I know these? No,
right.
I won't follow. I'll follow them. Follow them all if I have to, if that's what makes you
happy.
But
if you were like a model and you would, you know, post like pictures for modeling.
That's different.
Right.
That's your career. That's, for example, Sydney Prado. She's your girlfriend. What are you going to tell her? Hey, I don't like those bikini pictures.
So would you go out with somebody like her? Like, that's the question.
I've had that conversation where, you know, you date someone that's not used to this whole entertainment lifestyle, social media. So they're just, they see it as something bad. They see it a completely different way than we do. So, you know, let's say I were to date a girl with 200,000 followers and she does Fashion Nova and Celsius and all these things. She makes her money. She has all her little platforms. I'm not going to hate on her for having all that in bikini. You know what? That's what she does. She's not doing it for attention. She's not just doing it for that.
That's her job.
That's her job. She's an actress.
But you would be okay with it.
I would be okay with it and I would support it 100%. But now if you're just, you know, Jane from down the street and you want to post your ass to get 47 likes, that's a whole different story. Right. And I'm not okay with that.
Again, well, I think that that's why it's very important for anybody that's entering a relationship. And I didn't realize it when I was younger. That was some other advice, actually, that my mom, you know, and dad would give me. You know, when you're young and you're just dating, obviously at 17 and 18, it's like usually the man you're going to marry or have a family with. But once you're like in a certain time in your life and that, you know, a certain stage in your life, you should be dating the kind of person that's who you want to have a family and a life with. So you're not going to be wasting your time 100%. With that. So if that's, I mean, I'm not in Jonah's head or heart right now. So I don't know if he was looking for like a serious commitment, you know, to have a family and get married. But if he was, then, you know, he figured out it wasn't going to be her, but he shouldn't be looking for
that. It depends what, you know, point you are in your life and whether you're trying to settle down, whether you just got out of something serious and you just want to enjoy it. So, you know, right now, for example, for me, whoever I end up dating, it's long term and I have to see them.
And you're going to look at their Instagram and please share it with me so I can stalk their Instagram.
Oh my God.
A ver si te conviene o no, because, you know, there's no time to waste.
Ay, ay, ay. Ay, por favor.
Ay, por favor.
Ay, por favor, de verdad.
Bueno, mijo, it's been un placer. It's been so much fun. ¿Te gusta? ¿Te gustó la experiencia? Sí. Did you like the experience?
I did.
Did I let you talk? Because I know I can talk a lot.
Yeah, you go off, but one day I'll have my own podcast.
And I'll be your guest.
And you'll probably talk it off the same way.
Okay, well, it's been a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Te quiero.
Te quiero mucho.
Te adoro. Y lo que, like, we love you guys too. Thank you for listening. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
I hope you enjoy. Hasta la próxima. Ay, por favor.
Ay, por favor.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Ay, por favor podcast. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. Hasta luego. Hasta la próxima.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Baratapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.